This morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It's a pretty familiar story for most of us. In that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them in heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Amen. Eddie, you didn't even know it. You gave a nice little, pre-sermon. That's right. So we're going to focus on the shepherds in this story, okay? Shepherding early in the Bible was a very honorable, well-thought-of profession. But you get more towards the time of when Christ was born, shepherding, not so honorable. They're really thought of as outcasts. Definitely not a glamorous job, okay? They were generally uneducated, considered low class. I mean, they're shepherds, really, they probably didn't smell that great. So it was pretty much a dead-end job, no real advancement, no hope of really doing anything else. By the way, it was a relatively dangerous job as well, with the animals and people trying to steal them and all that stuff. Spiritually, they were seen by society as unclean and outcasts. Shepherds, like I said, the shepherds were actually infamous for being thieves and dishonest, so they weren't really allowed to, be a witness in court, That would stink. If you get murdered in front of a shepherd, you couldn't go to court and testify. These guys are the guys, just to give a little idea here. These are the guys, anybody have daughters? Yeah, these are the guys that if your daughter brought them home, wouldn't make it in the door. You'd open the door and be like, no, and shut the door. They just weren't considered high in society, Yet these shepherds, these outcasts, these who society felt was unclean, they were the first people outside of Mary and Joseph that God chose to announce the good news to. Possibly the greatest news of all time. These shepherds are a wonderful example to us. Everywhere in the Bible are examples of shepherds. People are probably overlooked at one point in time in their lives. But also, these shepherds being faithful to God and doing great things to further God's kingdom. A couple examples of the prophet Amos, Jacob, King David, all started out as shepherds. Probably the greatest example of all is Jesus Christ, who calls himself the Good Shepherd. In John 10, 7 through 12, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and live abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." All those shepherds, Amos, David, they all had one thing in common. Each one of them heard the word, acted by faith, In doing so, received access to a loving God and Savior, which led them to spending their lives declaring to those around them the good news that they had received. In other words, hard. So let's start with hearing the good news. On some level, don't you wish God was this obvious all the time, you know, an angel just pops out of the sky and brings the good news? I mean, make life a lot easier, right? How are you going to argue with an angel of God? I probably would try to find a way, but that's neither here nor there, okay? But not only that, so not only did the shepherds get one angel, they got a multitude. Now, multitudes could be hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions. We don't know, but we'll just put it under the blanket of a lot. Again, hard to argue with, right? On the other hand, may have needed a new pair of shorts. Okay? Seriously, like just picture this. You're sitting in a field, it's dark, you're having a nice time with your other shepherd friends, your buddies, you got maybe a little fire going, and then all of a sudden it lights up in the middle of the dark, and there's these angels standing there talking to you. My first instinct would probably be to go to the bathroom. Anybody with, seriously, be honest with yourselves, who would probably do the same thing? Is it a bad thing that on some level I find comfort in the fact that that part was included in the Bible, that they were afraid initially, that the angel had to calm them? I mean, it really could have been glossed over and really, in theory, not changed much of the story, right? But if that were the case, we'd have been missing a very important point. Sometimes hearing the good news, hearing the gospel, and having a light shined on our sinful selves, it can be scary sometimes, can it not? It can bring up feelings of shame, guilt, sadness. But like these shepherds, if we really hear the good news, it can also be freeing, uplifting, life-changing, and hard. Just because we hear the good news doesn't mean everything changes and everything's going to be okay. If anything, it's maybe a little bit harder. But see, what Satan does is he wants us to focus on that guilt, that shame, those feelings of sadness. He doesn't want us to think that we're, you know, worthy. He wants us to think we're unclean. The interesting thing is he's right. Without the good news, without the blood of Jesus Christ, we are. We're unable to escape our own sinful nature without the blood of Jesus Christ. But all Satan can do is hope that we are distracted by the smoke and mirrors. Because even Satan knows that even though we are weak, the blood of Christ is stronger than any power that Satan has. What's he going to do? Threaten us with death? Jesus is going to be like, been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. I beat it. Right? And if you believe in him, we also do not have to fear death, because we know that through his perfect sacrifice, we have eternal life. You know, as Christians, sometimes we take for granted that we've heard the good news and we don't need to go back and revisit it a lot, that we don't need to be reminded. You know, Christmas and Easter, pretty much, we get our fill during those two times of the year, and the rest of the year, you know, most of us kind of maybe don't go back and read this part. Read about his sacrifice, but we should. I don't think we can ever hear it enough. We can never hear enough that through the blood of Jesus Christ, which he willingly sacrificed on the cross, do we have access to heaven. Not by anything that you or I can do, but what he already did. Jesus overcame death so that we may live. Jesus died and rose again so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. You know what? Darren's right. That is energizing. He's not kidding. I'm not going to do like a bad MC Hammer dance, but, you know, it is energizing. What's up, Becky?
Ephesians 2, 8-9.
Pretty
good.
Yeah. Sorry. It's okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 54-58. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts away immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gave us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. When we hear this truth, I don't know about you, I'm both humble and energized. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear the good news as often as we can. We need to be reminded of what Christ has done for us. Those shepherds sitting in that field that night heard the good news, but what they did with it was also important. They acted. They acted by faith. Think for a minute about the world we live in. Not a whole lot really captures our attention for very long, does it? In fact, at least probably half of us in this room have already daydreamed at least once in the first 20 minutes of people speaking. Yeah. We jump from one thing to another. We get irritated when the web page doesn't load fast enough. You know, even worse if we become unplugged. I had this idea. I was going to put a basket on a table and say, place your cell phones here for the service, just to see who would do it. I know if I didn't know what was going on, I probably would have this entire conversation in my head about why you wanted my cell phone, which would probably include something along the lines of a government's conspiracy to spy and so on and so forth. I have an active imagination. I've also probably watched just a little too much 24 in my life. We do. We have access to wealth of information on a daily basis from the internet, the TV, our phones. Notice I didn't say good information. I just said information.
I have a smartphone. You can download the Bible app and read the Bible.
It is pretty cool. Thank you. But with all this information, how often do we actually act on stuff? How often do we sit around and we talk about problems, we talk about issues, we bring up things we don't agree with, we bring up things that maybe we don't like very well, but how many times do we just sit around and it never gets past conversation and we don't act? We don't do anything about it? What good would hearing the good news that day that the shepherds heard from the angels if they just went back to working? I mean, this would read much differently if the shepherds had just looked at each other and said, well, that was pretty awesome. I wonder if they're planting in the next field next week. Let's go see them again. And just went back to, you know, working with their sheep. What if one of their friends had just shown up with some food right about the time the angels were done and been like, everybody was like, oh, food. We just went there. This would read so much differently. And I'm sure if that was the case, God would have had another plan in place to spread the good news. But as Eddie said, because all God's plans are perfect, that's not how it went down. You see, the shepherds didn't just go back to their work. The Bible says they went with haste. Haste, by definition, is excessive speed, urgency of movement or action, to hurry, right? It's interesting that he uses this word. He doesn't say, well, the shepherds packed a bag and moseyed on over. No, they went with haste. They hurried because they were excited. They were filled with joy. They didn't stop. They didn't stop along the way. They didn't stop and put on their makeup or shave their beard. Nobody does that anymore, right? They went because the power of the gospel compelled them to action. They acted. Now, there are some theories that the shepherds may have found some other shepherds to watch their flock. Bible's not, doesn't really say that. Even if they did, we know that the shepherds had a high rate of crime within their ranks, so either way you look at it, they left. They're putting their livelihood, they're putting their flock on the line to go see their Savior. Anybody else think that takes a tremendous amount of faith? Would you be willing today to just leave if God wanted you to? Yeah, me neither. I'd probably have a hard time with it. You know, I'd be thinking about my kids or my wife or this bill needs paid or that bill needs paid. Not these shepherds. They just acted. You know? Do we show that kind of faith in our lives? Even if it isn't to the extent of just leaving. What if it's just an opportunity with somebody that you meet? Do we act? What if it's just in conversation with somebody you know? Do we act? Not all the time. Hopefully sometimes. Important thing is we really gotta fight about becoming so consumed with the world and the stuff and the phone and everything. You know, I'm pretty sure most teenagers have no idea how to have an actual face-to-face conversation. It's all through text. They sit beside each other and text. Like, open your mouth. It works. We gotta guard ourselves, particularly in this time of year when things are just flashing at you. Good Black Friday sales. Also, things are just coming at you so hard that sometimes we get lost in the way of the world, you know, looking for the perfect present or looking for the best deal. You know? Sometimes we have to listen, we have to hear, and just act. But because the shepherds heard the good news and acted because they had faith in what they had heard, then an opportunity, they received access to their Savior. This hasn't changed in a couple of thousand years. If we hear the good news and believe, we find ourselves being compelled to act. As Paul says in Romans, we have access to grace through our faith. Romans 5:2-6. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Shepherding was hard work, dangerous work. Being a Christian, it's not always easy, is it? Would anybody say that being a Christian is easy?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Eddie. In fact, in my opinion, life in a lot of ways is a lot harder as a Christian. You know, we don't have the...
It's flawed.
It is flawed. Exactly. Paul says we don't, when we become Christians, he doesn't go on to say, congratulations, you get a break from real life. You don't accept Christ and all of a sudden all the hard stuff goes away. Paul didn't say that because Paul lived through a lot of suffering in his time. But he also points out that Christ died for us when we were most weak. And even to this day, at our weakest moments, a lot of times that's when his sacrifice becomes the most clear to us, the most evident. It is the assurance that his sacrifice takes away our sin that compels us to act. We know we have access to eternal life with our Heavenly Father. Much like the shepherds that day of Jesus' birth, faith will grant us access to our Savior. So here we are, these shepherds have heard the good news, acted by faith on the good news, and in doing so, received access to the presence of Jesus Christ. But the story doesn't stop there. After all, these outcasts, forgotten by society, dead-end jobs, they went out and did something that we all need to do. They declared the good news. Anybody struggle sharing their faith at times? Yeah. I do too. Ever actually sit there and you're having a conversation with somebody and you think to yourself, this would be a really good opportunity for me to talk about how Jesus saves us. Then for whatever reason you don't. It happens to me at times, I'll admit. I feel like I failed or I'm inadequate. What I've come to realize, again, this is Satan. He's using our insecurities against me. I need to be confident in declaring the good news like the shepherds were that day. For after seeing the baby Jesus in Luke 2, verses 17 through 18, he said, they made known the saying that has been told to them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. We don't know, but I would venture to say the shepherds in the field may or may not have been believers. We don't know. Probably weren't highly educated in the scripture because of their place in society. But what they did have that day was their story, their experience, and their belief that what the angels told them and what they saw was true. And that's all it took. They go out and then they declared it to everybody. They didn't just, I mean, think about this. This would be like, you know, maybe a homeless guy coming up to you and say, hey, a bunch of angels told me that my Savior was born. I went and saw the baby, and I wanted to tell you how awesome this is and that your Savior is born too. What's going to be most people's first reaction? If they're nice, they might say, let's go see if we can get you some help. Right? These shepherds, who most people, again, wouldn't have noticed other than maybe to pass judgment on them or think that they were not welcome or wanted. Instead, they went confidently and told everyone they came across the good news of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. They didn't necessarily, like I said, have that high level of education. They didn't have maybe that deep understanding of Christianity, but they had their story. They heard the good news of their Savior being born, and because of the faith and what the angels had told them, they were able to meet their Savior. And this is where, but is this where our job as Christians end? Hearing, acting on what we on faith? No. What are we going to do with our faith? Are we going to hide it, only bring it out in safe zones like this Sunday mornings, or maybe not our small group Bible study, but most small group Bible studies? we have some pretty good debates in our Bible study. Or maybe just in the company of other Christians. Are we going to learn from the examples of the shepherds? Are we going to share our faith confidently with the assurance of eternal life through Jesus Christ? Look, the truth is that some people aren't going to respond to the gospel story. Christ, when explaining the parable of the sower to the disciples in Matthew, says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that what has been sown in his heart. This is what is sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. He endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, he immediately falls away. As for those sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares for the world, and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. God uses us to plant seeds. Some of them grow, some of them don't. Only God knows why. Sometimes those planting those seeds happens in places that we're uncomfortable with people we're uncomfortable with. Yet we are commanded to make disciples of all nations, not just the ones we are comfortable in. When I read that word nations, I don't see borders. I see people. People on the other end of the world, people right outside the doors. No one should be overlooked, and everyone should hear the gospel. God chose not to overlook the easily overlooked. How often are we so wrapped up in ourselves that we overlook people? How often will we not see the hurting, the hungry, the spiritually poor? They come in all shapes and sizes, the economically poor, the wealthy. They encompass all races, creeds, backgrounds, but they all have the same thing in common. Everyone needs to hear the gospel story. John 1, 9 through 17 says, "The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Unbelievers need to know that as men and women, we are dreadfully inadequate and unworthy of eternal life. And there's nothing we can do to really change that on our own. But to all who receive Jesus Christ, who believe in his name, who understand that through no action of their own, but only through a perfect Christ dying, rising, and conquering death, do we have access to eternal life. Many, including churches, Christians, have made a habit of saying Jesus is the reason for the season. No. Jesus is the reason for every season, every hour, every minute, every second of every day. He's the reason that we have access to eternal life. So in the season where the words hope, love, and joy, and peace are tossed around by everyone, let us go out and tell the world about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. That because God loved us so much that he sacrificed his only son so that we can find peace in him. That even though this life is hard and discouraging at sometimes, we have joy through the assurance of eternal life. The gospel is just as powerful message today as it was the day the angels appeared to those shepherds in that field. God took his message to those whom the world considered outcasts and made them messengers. For those of us who believe, have faith, we are no longer outcasts, but messengers, charged with spreading the gospel. Go, having heard the gospel, act by faith on what we know is true, and in doing so, have assurance that you received access to your Savior. And while there is still breath in our mortal bodies, declare the gospel confidently to all nations, both at home and at the end of the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to praise you and thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I want to thank you for Eddie, who is willing to spend his time, Lord, and his own money, Lord, because he's passionate, Lord. He's passionate on spreading your gospel, Lord. He's heard the gospel, Lord. He's acting on his faith, Lord. And because he's acting, Lord, he knows that he's received access to his Savior, and he wants to declare it, Lord. These shepherds, Lord, and Eddie, Lord, they're great examples to each and every one of us, how we need to hear the gospel, Lord, and how that gospel, by faith, compels us to action. And Lord, how blessed we are to be able to know that we have access to a Savior. Lord, I pray that you will give us spirits that are strong, spirits that are just filled with you, so that we can confidently declare your love to the world. I pray this all in your Son's name. Amen.